All right, so this is our circle for the 10 emotional needs of the soul, and you've been being present to feeling needed, is that right? This week, fulfilling that need to be needed. So one of the questions that comes up that you may want to explore with me a little bit, frequently comes up with this one is the difference between feeling needy and feeling needed. And it's been my discovery, and I'm very curious to hear what you're discovering as you hold being needed, that actually if we don't fulfill those fundamental needs, the ways in which we want to feel or know that we are here to be needed, that we become needy. We become needy when we are looking for others to fulfill us, to be what we need them to be. Then we become needy. But if we are indeed fulfilling those fundamental needs, including that very, very powerful energy of being needed in the world, which is a developmental stage, there is a place in which we need to know or want to know or long to know that who we are as individuals, who we are as souls, that we were created for some purpose that allows us to know we have a place in this matrix. We have a place with others, that we matter in some way. And when that is fulfilled, and when we understand that throughout our lives, we will fulfill. We have the opportunity to fulfill those desires to be needed, that we become less and less needy as we go deeper into that self-fulfillment. So there is a difference. And for some people, for example, I was working with a woman the other day who had a fundamental need to feel acknowledged. And we've been taught, as we'll talk to when we get there as well, that sense of being acknowledged, we've been taught is selfish, right? That's ego, when we think that we should be acknowledged for something that we've done. And in fact, that if we're not acknowledging ourselves, that then we live out that neediness, expecting others to do it, and we project outward. And that's where things get difficult as we continue to look for people to be what we need them to be in order to be fulfilled. And by the way, that is a very it's a natural state that often comes. Hi, Aruna. That also occurs. Evelyn, I see your hand. I'll grab you in just a second here. It also occurs when we are very young, when we're tiny. And our mother is not able to be there for us in the ways that we needed her, that our father is not able to be there in the ways that we needed our father to be there. I was working with another woman the other day who, at age three, and from the womb through age three, her needs were not getting met. Mom was wounded and separate. So even though things were happening physically in her world, there was evidence and demonstration that her needs were getting met. At the core level, that bonding was not happening. So it took her many years to realize that her core needs really weren't being met, even though on the surface, stories and the pictures, it would appear that they were getting met. Deep inside, they were not. So to give ourselves permission to fulfill that is yes, we're needy. That's true. We are needy until we fulfill them. And when we fulfill them, then as we know from this work, then the outer world begins to reflect that back to us. So we're no longer seeking it, looking for it from the outside world, but unable to receive it, because the imprint isn't inside of us yet. And so for whatever reason, feeling needed, that between 7, right, to 11, 12, that period of time, that discussion about feeling needed has a tendency to bring up the concept of neediness. So I wanted to make sure that we address that a little bit today. And Evelyn, go ahead, dear. You can, I'll unmute your line.
I'm unmuted. Thank you. I just wanted to share that I had kind of an aha moment when you said that. Because I do feel quite needy sometimes. And no wonder, because I think my needs couldn't be met in a very early stage in my life. And I remember a workshop I did some years ago, I mean, I participated in, when it was about feminine power and power statements from a deep power source. And what I came up with was, I am here for a reason. My contribution is needed. My life matters. And it's still so powerful. And when I heard you saying that, I thought, wow, yeah. Of course I feel needy. I have to when I don't feel needed. And how could I if my needs weren't met? So it's my job now to do that. And then who knows what might show up outside. And just wanted to thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful realization that you can now. It's like these needs, right, don't have to just linger. And of course we look for it from other people. Of course we do. That's where it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes by design, sometimes our soul comes in, right, mm-hmm. to experience a certain degree of unfulfillment in order to experience what it is to love oneself into that fulfillment.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, it never really is anyone's fault. No. It's a confluence of events, including what's imprinted in our soul, what's imprinted in our parents' soul, our guardian souls, our brothers and sisters, all of those imprints in that confluence that meets some needs and leaves others hanging. And so yeah. How beautiful that we get to be in a journey of that fulfillment, that indeed, that you do matter. I love that concept, isn't it?
Yeah. And if I may add a little thing, it might even help you sharing this now for me to continue my journey. As you know, I'm still getting into the third emotional need, and you are ahead of me. And I'm kind of, okay, that's fine. It's okay. I have my own rhythm and it's okay. I can take my time. And maybe this will help me to move on. And maybe it's just perfect divine timing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just Absolutely. Wanted to say that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, so that we all know that's good, that you're working a different one. But wonder, that spirit of wonder and third emotional need of the soul is such a gorgeous energy. Mm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that so many of our parents, if they were working full time, if in families where there were a lot of kids, in families where mom was depressed, dad was unavailable, some of the themes and patterns that emerged for many of us in our childhood, it was difficult then perhaps to experience enough of that sense of wonder. Mm-hmm. And we do get to recreate that. And of course we feel kind of hungry. We want other people to be in that spirit with us, even when they may not be able to. In fact, that's the pattern we typically play out, right? We attract people who can't go into that spirit of wonder with us. Mm-hmm. The same reasons, that it wasn't imprinted for them either. So somewhere we create that beautiful re-pattern, that re-imprinting.
And Misa, might that be connected with meeting unavailable men?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's kind of It can also establish, I think, a certain degree of narcissism because everything in that age range is about you. You don't have a whole lot of concept of other, except that they're there to take care of you, right? So if that age was disturbed in some way and unfulfilled, you may keep thinking that everything in your life is about you. Trying to get that need fulfilled. And Lord knows we have lots of men and women who struggle with that, right? We all have certain narcissistic tendencies, all of us do. And some of us really, really struggle with that because that fundamental need at wonder and the next one feeling appreciated weren't fulfilled.
So it might also contribute to feeling, what did I do wrong? What's my fault? You know, like, must be mine.
Yes, it must be my fault. And this is the other very, very young impression that we have. It must be my fault that people don't want to be with me. Right? Mom was busy. Dad was busy. They weren't interested in what I was interested in. They didn't have time for me. It must be my fault. Children do this when their parents separate, right? They think they did it. Because they are I or me centric, it's part of their development. It's not a full bodied picture, but it is part of their development. So yes, so if that was unfulfilled in you, you're going to attract partners for which it was unfulfilled in them.
Wow, my sister always called me an egoist.
Wow. That's a pretty strong statement. Oh. Yeah. Well, of course. And I think the great compassion for our narcissistic tendencies, and I have a lot of them, by the way, and have worked through a lot of them, I think is that compassion for the one who was not fully seen, heard, met, and understood.
Yeah, and understanding that it's kind of a trap, that it's not like, oh, I'm so great, look at me. It's to me, it's more like, oh my goodness, I have to watch out not to do something wrong. And you know, you're so self-consciousness that you don't have energy left for others. It's not because you think you're so great. It's just a constant watching yourself, monitoring yourself. That's something totally different. At least that's how I felt, or you know, a lot of my life, was kind of confused when other people called me an egoist, because I thought, wow, that's not what I felt. But yeah, interesting. Thank you.
Great realization, Evelyn. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Good. And also with what Evelyn shared, it's appropriate to be in the continuum where you are. We've had women do this in different ways. Some women go step by step with us all the way along and then go back and work some particular areas. Some women find that it's like, I'm not moving on until I go a little deeper with this particular need of the soul. So it's all good. It's all a continuum. And they're all interconnected. So wherever you are is exactly right. And I know that early on, these first three or four can be really sticky places for a lot of us. So it's good to just honor. They were the fundamental places. When I work with women, I frequently find that the challenges that we experience as we get older are a direct reflection of the parts, the emotional parts that were missing for us when we were little. So this is a powerful time to reconnect with that sweetie in there and love her up good. Yeah. All right, what else is coming up for you as you're working with these, with the state of wonder, with being needed, any of them wanting, received, appreciated? That we talked about last week. Marta?
I'll share the obvious, which is since yesterday morning, then it shifted and it was happening now again. I am being pulled into I think it's sacred feminine consciousness. It's very difficult to have eyes open or even to speak. I would love to share with you what I wrote, but it is a huge effort, but I want to honor this. It's there was a cave in the beginning, and this cave was a cozy place. Then there was some connection with my mind draw the P-W-O-A-L as standing for primordial womb of all life. As childish as this might be. Yeah. Funny thing. Then there was this second part of my purpose, my earthly purpose, being shown by the divine. So it's on top of a cloud kind of thing. Not making much sense. Then there is Jesus. Number three, it's needed by whoever needs me here on earth. And number four, oh yeah, this is where I was dwelling for a while. This was coming stronger as I was singing. And I catalog my sounds. So today's sounds, it's morning sounds 440. It's a kind of a cool number. And this, I was led into a place that was coming before, where I am, I think it's a past life that I am seeing, is myself in a field. I'm a monk. Actually, it's of a specific order. It's called Capuchinhos here in Portugal. I might post something on Facebook about this. And there's a story behind this. I've done some work this week where Arjan told me that I had my connection with healing being so bounded, I think would be the word, is connected with this one of these lifetimes or so. Anyway, my experience was of seeing this and then seeing this woman, which was me. And the link between these two was that they would sing and people would see things as they would be singing. So people would have visions. So not necessarily I would have visions, the one singing. Sorry about the lack of sense, but yeah, little note on the side that came as I was praying the rosaries, that this need, I know it is furthermore in the emotional needs, if I remember correctly, but it was the feeling was of having less of the parents and more of the self. So less of the parents, more.
What does that mean, Marta? Less of the parents and more of the self?
Well, it means not having more detachment from the stories, having more of a sense of self and being here and being on your mission.
Yeah, that's lovely. So it sounds like the vision was bringing you into consciousness, moments of consciousness for you, and symbols of consciousness. that tell a little bit of the story of your emergence. And part of that emergence is more of yourself and less in the story of your parents. Am I hearing all that correctly?
Am I need to re-listen to what you said? But I think so.
Well, when it's coming from such a deep place, right? Initially, they're not necessarily all coherent. They're moments that are each significant. And they're the new reweaving may show up over time. What that is. But very deep. And that your music, your sound is so fundamental to who you are and your sacred nature. And perhaps your sacred work. And so often that sacred work begins in our families, interestingly enough. Very often that's where it begins, but one needs to have a certain degree of self-awareness to be of service. Excuse me. So who else is finding some insights and meditations?
I had brought up the emotional immaturity, and it wasn't until Misa, you kind of described this a little bit more in this manner, that I kind of, oh, okay, this does fit with this week. It was this is my notes that I had put on it earlier this morning. It was fueled by an ego. This is where it stems from. It's fueled by an ego begging to be seen, to be found worthy, and in so doing would find a seat at a table. And I found that this week, with the things and experiences that I've been having, I don't want a seat just at any table anymore, which is where I was begging to be at any table. It didn't matter. And of course, that's where you come across even more wounding, that provides more wounding. Yes. And I was able to find myself in a position this week only, where not only did I understand it, know it, and feel it, there's something about my body holding the energy of something with my mind understanding and my heart opening that transmutes it to me a different level. They all have to go whoosh, like this for me to be able to stand outside of it. And there is a lot of that happened this week in a different way, in a way I'm a lot more comfortable with, instead of going, oh, look, kind of thing, right? So it was a lot more comfort, and just now a sense of this is a healthy tool for me to be able to understand when it comes into alignment. So me wanting to be, or finding that, needing to find that place of belonging. And every time I look up, there's been a few times now where I'd see a group of geese flying beautifully together. And I would literally say, I wonder if I'm, and I'd see that lone goose flying in a complete opposite direction all by itself and being okay with it. So all of these are kind of coming into play this week with a different of understanding my visual cues and seeing it out there, so that in the future I have a better awareness of what does this mean. It's just another language, being familiar with another language on a different level, where I'm not impressed or feeling whatever about the insight on it. So that maturity of not just needing to be at any table just because someone says, oh, you can sit here, but to want to be at the table of my choosing. And in this lifetime, it might not be any table, and I'm okay with that. I really just want to be more full of who I am. I really want to fill myself. That's my need. And if it happens to be sharing it with other people at a same table, I'm okay with that. But until then, I might stumble along the way, and that's okay. And that's okay too. But a really strong thing that I woke up this morning too with was perceptions, and I wrote that down as well. And it has to do with this neediness, and it was just quite large, and it feels good to understand it in that way. There's freedom there. Is perception is musings of an untrained mind expressing through a wounded ego. So that's a perception. We all have our own perception, but we're all, some wound at some point is perceiving that reality. I mean, if we were 100% healed, most of us would either be dead or, which is however, right? That was a bit off, but there is a one perception. And the closer you get to the one perception is the more you're dropping your wounding. The closer in alignment you can see the 50 different ways of saying something is the one thing of divinity. The closer. So there's that helping me with that sense of neediness, because in that neediness, I have to take on that umbrella of other people. It's that correlation, that crossover, that being drawn into someone else's needs, wants, wounds. That's all correlated. It's all a part of, it's all symbiotic. It's systemic. We're just a system, and you cannot have one without the other. One flavor is going to help. You can isolate to explain, but you cannot live the isolation only. It's all a part of, and it's all going to have some interplay at some point. How we are best able to express it, feel it, understand it, or live it is just one of the variances. So, one of the things that happened for me that kind of put this into a third dimensional understanding was a living example. At work, I've just been holding the community in a completely different way. And my supervisor, for the first time this week, was out front with me and got to see how I hold a community. And I was kind of impacted by the way they saw what I was doing was way more than I thought I was doing. And there was another staff member who's just very abusive that I had seen early on. She attacked me, but not attacked me. That being able to let go of my wounding, that death of my dreaming, allowed me not to have any attachment to it whatsoever, nor to be pulled in by it or wounded by it or anything like that. But in maybe 6 months ago, I would have said she attacked me verbally and was very abusive in front of another staff member, blah, 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 whatever. So that could have been, but it wasn't really that. It was what it was. And in that, my supervisor took me off to the side, not that I was going to get in trouble, because he's asked me before to, in a way without him knowing, was to hold her unhealthiness and be responsible for her lack of showing up. And I did, I agreed, but he wasn't aware that that was the agreement. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try. I'll see what I can do. What happened this time was he pulled me aside and I ended up in his office, and he ended up saying, you know, someone else saw what happened. And I want to let you know that you can come to me with anything, which isn't true, but that's okay too, because of the history. Whatever, right? No big deal. But he said, and he almost cried. He goes, I support you 110%. And there is absolutely no excuse for the way that you've been treated. It's not acceptable. It's not okay. And it will never happen again. And he goes, and I want you to know, and he almost started crying. And because of my lack of attachments to the emotional part of it, I didn't know if he was genuine or not, but he was. I was just standing in a different place. But I was able to, through that, letting go of that neediness, was able to stand at a place of acknowledging his feelings, honoring his support, and not needing to need that support anymore. It was absolutely beautiful what he had to offer. And I'm not even the slightest bit interested in exploiting that. Or I know that's a strong word, but I'm not even drawn to go, well, oh, he supports me, or I was right. And there's just so, it's just, that's where he is. And I still choose to work at whatever I need to work at, my little, not program, but my, I'm going to do a little blog or whatever, just start it at least, to be on that road by January. Not just visualizing it and working it, but on the road of that in January, and allowing it to pull and draw me where I'm meant to be. Not where I feel I need to go, but where I'm meant to be. And that's okay.
And Charmaine, isn't that a wonderful place of power to be standing in?
Oh, it's yeah. And that place of power feels calm.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels freeing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's powerful. Mm-hmm. But it isn't the sense of like flex power. And I know you understand what I'm saying. I just want to express that. Yes, yes.
It's that place in your core, in your
soul. Yeah.
It's not an external place of power. It's an internal place of power.
There is something that is pulling on me, and it's really pushing the limits out. It's expanding in such a way to make room for what's coming in, what is to be, not in an ego way, but what's meant to be, the truth. It has to make room for the truth, whatever truth that may be. Yes. Thank you, Ariane.
There's a magic that begins to happen, and it's what I've fallen in love with in regard to the holding, that when the needs are fulfilled in you, you no longer need it from other, but that is exactly when it comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the opposite of what we would think. We keep searching for that need to be fulfilled from other, but that is not how it works. And then when it arrives, as you so graciously did, you can hold the whole drama, the whole story, from beginning to end, every person's part, including your mm-hmm. own, and simply be present to that which is.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about the awareness of emotional wounding is that when you are in that place of power, the wound is as significant as the spiritual gift. There is no difference, because the wound is the catalyst for consciousness, for memory. And the awareness or the gifts that emerge is an awareness of consciousness. It is all in awareness of consciousness. And the opportunity is to be present to everything that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Without judging it, without dismissing it, without moving it aside, without raising it up. I may have shared this story with you before. One of the things that shocked me the first time I went to my elder and I was talking about this incredible mystical experience, her response was, that's nice, Misa. So what shall we have for dinner? And when I tried to engage the drama, when it was, I've worked through the fact that I won't have children of my own. Now it's the, I've got to work through that I won't have grandchildren of my own. Oh my God, I heard. Her response was, knock it off, Misa. Knock it off. You're going to have grandchildren. You're going to have a lot of them. So of all kinds of kids in the world. So just be okay with that. Move on. no big energy on the wound, no big energy on the spiritual revelation, only that, of course, it is. Mm-hmm. And you have the capacity, which he wasn't saying, that became the words that formed for me later from other ancestors, was, of course, you have the capacity to hold it all. Mm-hmm. And it is in that holding it all that, as you observed, the healing in your community happened. Mm-hmm. It was your presence, right? It was your presence and your willingness to fulfill yourself that became the container that held everything that was going on, that allowed them to have their revelations in their continuing journey of awakening and your own revelations. Mm-hmm. And it simply is. That is how it is, period. Mm-hmm. And it is whether we are unconscious or conscious in the process.
Yes.
What your holding is doing and your spiritual practice is doing is that you're conscious in the process.
Yeah.
And it frees you from all the pulling and the strings and the emotional tethers, right? It frees you. And I want to add one more thought. Hang on to yours. One more thought. What's really wonderful is when you engage in those moments of, as you've called them, emotional immaturity. And instead of being frustrated with ourselves, we say, oh, huh, ooh, mm-hmm. I get to be conscious with this. Ooh, where is this going to take me in my consciousness?
Isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And to get to take ownership and responsibility rather than projecting outward in blame. And I'll share a story in a little bit about how that recently played out. But what sparked for you, honey? Do you want to pull that?
One of the things that I've been hiding from as well is, like, there's always been this really strong desire to be seen, but an absolute fear when I am seen. It's so uncomfortable. It is. I literally would cry, or like it wasn't just not wanting to. There was a lot of stress and drama and trauma around that. But one of the other things that I released myself from as well, and I'm not sure how this is going to work out or what that's going to look like, because, well, I just don't at this point. Visual leadership, the type of leadership that we've been having, and it had to do with the perceptions. And all of these musings of untrained minds expressing through a wounded ego running around everywhere. And I got tired, and it's like, I can't do this anymore. It's too much drama. It's too much energy. It's wasted. And there was a moment, and I decided, I'm going to be that visual leadership, mm-hmm. whether I fit in or not. Which was another severing of that tie of needing to be needed. So whether I fit in or not, I'm going to make the right choices and I'm going to express the right choices. Whether I'm seen or not seen, I need to rebuild my capacity of self again. It's just about my capacity of self. It has nothing to do with being a leader. It has nothing to do with being a follower, seen or not seen. It solely is just rebuilding my own capacity, my own lung capacity, my ability to breathe. That's all it is. That's it.
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ariane's letting us know she's going to have to leave pretty soon. We love her.
Yeah, I'm going to leave in a couple minutes. It's my weekend to volunteer with the kitties, so I have a couple minutes, but then I'll just wave and leave.
Thank you, dear. Those kitties, some good love from us too.
We have kittens.
Yeah, I know. They just soak it up. So my sense, just if it's okay, Aruna, it feels like there's something in you that's wanting to come forward.
I was in the Himalayas for 2 weeks. And when I came back, it was so uncanny that at school, they were talking about old tapes, parental tapes that run through us and how we are caught on to those and how we just keep on repeating the same patterns of behavior. Mm-hmm. And just when I came to our lessons, and it was the same thing again. So I was just thinking, how is the universe providing me all this different spaces, such a spiritual one, such a, you know, one with so much of reason and learning from scientific background, but both are bringing me the same lessons as if it was so planned. So that was something that was really such a big surprise. And while at the Himalayas, I'd seen so much of nature, and I was experiencing the kind of just being. And today when I was doing the meditation from our lesson, I realized what we are talking about. In that meditation, I saw the seed. And when we were talking about being needy, I heard you, Mamisa, saying that there's a difference between being needy and wanting something, like Bell expressed, you know, not to be chasing after things. So in my meditation, I got the seed. I don't know why I got a seed. There's a big image of a seed, and then this huge, 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 almost like a sequoia tree. And I had seen this tree in Himalayas, and that something like that came back to me. And now as we're all talking, and I'm listening to you all, it was making sense that that little seed is growing, right, on the soil, in the soil. It also needs to grow. However, there is an interdependence. It's not needy as in just for my survival. It's just about my story, and I need this, and I need this to so that I can be who I want to be, or I can be validated, or I can be seen, or I can be all those stories that we attach to it. But it's just about being. Yeah, the seed just is there, and it grows, it fulfills its life purpose through interdependence. So it's okay to have needs. It's okay to have needs. However, I see the way we acknowledge those needs through interdependence makes the difference. So in interdependence, it's all about here and now, in this moment, just being mindful of my presence here and right now. That's it. There's no story to it. So there is no background music going on asking me to dance to a particular rhythm, or there's no compulsions, or there's no, you know, repeats of my patterns. It's just about being present to whatever I'm experiencing. Yeah. So that makes all the difference. And that kind of came like a aha moment as I'm listening to all of you. And that little seed made sense. And I was wondering, why the seed? And the seed was growing in size and becoming small and growing in size in my meditation. And this huge tree that was there, and I wasn't making sense to me at that point of time what it meant to me. Now it made all the sense. And there's this, just like that, it came to me. I wasn't even searching for answers. It just came as I heard you all. Mm-hmm. So I'm staying with it, and I'm feeling so grateful to be part of this group. And thank you.
I so love that you had the connection with the seed, and the grandmothers really talk about our, and have shown me our expressions of our creative desires. Right, that impulse from the divine begins as a seed of consciousness that needs to be nurtured before it is born into the cosmic egg. The seed first, and it's been left out of many creation stories, which is fascinating to me, but they see it, you saw it, that seed that wants to be nurtured. And if we think about the age period of where we have this profound desire to feel needed, right? We're 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. This is when you're hoping that your parents see that you love to bake, right? and they let you into the kitchen, and they give you, in today's world, it would be educational videos, or they show you and teach you how to do the things that are impulses for you. It's nurtured. And you get to make that cake that celebrates an occasion, right? You get to be the one. I watched that so beautifully done with a couple of women who were getting married. They understood this, and they had a daughter, right, that was that age, 11, 12 years old, and she did love to bake, and she made their wedding cake. And you can imagine what that was for her, right? As she's describing, because I was officiating the wedding, and she's describing to me and the family and friends that have gathered what all of the symbolism on the cake was about. And the support of the community saying, how did you do that? How did you make those little figures? And her journey to get to celebrate her, what would be her new parents, right? A new set of parents that were caring for her. And that here, her very talents from the divine were being honored. And that's what we long for. That's what feeling needed is about. So yes, it is about being seen and heard and understood, because it is the expression of our beingness, of who we are. And it is vital to our growth. And to give ourselves permission to surround ourselves with people and energies and meditations and our ancestors, right? If it's not people in our daily life, our ancestors will hold it with us. Those impulses that are the beautiful and wonderful expressions of who we are, and honor them and see them and hear them as we did for her. And it's natural. There was no bragging. There was no all the things that we put on it. That's not what it's about. It's a celebration of this unique expression, much as you might pick a flower and celebrate its unique expression and its beauty. So nurturing that seed is so, so precious. Marta.
As I was hearing Aruna, I remembered your Facebook name is a Bija mantra, isn't it? It's a seed mantra. So that's what I... What is it? What is that? If you would like to share, what is that mantra or Bija mantra?
Yeah, it's a short mantra, which is the beginning of sound. It's called the I am Bija. So the mantra is, it has certain tones in it, which is the beginning of sound.
Yeah. How perfect is that?
And such a beautiful connect, Martha. I didn't even connect it in my mind right now. I'm so thankful that you brought it up. Thank you.
Beautiful. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Martha? About your experience with no? Okay. Lovely, lovely acknowledgement. Anything else? Evelyn says, I love the image of nurturing our sacred seeds. Do you want to speak to that a little bit more, Evelyn? You're welcome to.
it's just such a beautiful energy, I think. If we tend to our own sacred seeds and nurture them, and don't feel like an egoist when we do that, you know, because we're here to make our contribution. In order to do that, we have to make sure that the conditions are right so that we can express ourselves fully. And I mean, nurturing is such a huge thing for me. And so I love the idea of this is something that's not only for me. I'm doing that so that the divine seed in me can blossom and really, you know, fulfill its purpose. I love that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is profoundly sweet. Mm-hmm. There is a dear friend who does who nurtures creativity in business. It's her awakening, her way of bringing sacred feminine consciousness into the business world. And she talks about the early stages of our development of any idea or any dream. She says it's important to incubate it, present it to people who can hold it with you.
Yes.
Without needing to say, here's some constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Here's some, have you thought about how difficult this might be? You know that in the early stages of an idea, we're not ready for that. What we really want is the sense of preciousness. Oh, do you see this seed? Do you see it? Do you see its potential with me? Can you hold that potential with me? Much as when a mother is carrying a child in her womb, what you want to hear and know is the support from your community. So sometimes we have to choose our community.
Yes.
We have to choose who we share those ideas with, choose who we share those precious moments with, knowing that they can hold this reverence and sacredness of this life that is for them. The challenges will come up soon enough, right? They will come on their own.
I so agree, Misa. That's exactly what Mother Earth is doing. She holds it and protects it, and it's not seen at this point. It's hidden. It's protected and safely guarded in the soil until it's ready enough to break through and be seen, you know? And that's exactly what I experienced, that I only share deep thoughts and desires with people who I feel can hold it. Otherwise, it's taking away the energy which is needed which is needed in the seed so that it can grow.
That's right.
That's true.
It's a beautiful reminder that when someone is growing in something, the first things that they need to hear are our positive accolades.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a lot of criticism. When a little one is baking a cake, the first thing she needs to hear is, oh, good measuring. Ah, yeah, see how you did that? Well done. Later on, as she gets more proficient, then it's easier to say, did you watch how long you baked it? Have you got the timer on? Right? Gentle, loving coaching reminders rather than the harsh criticism that so many of us grew up with, that we're encouraged in those words of encouragement. And that is part of feeling needed. This is the time that when we're working with this energy, we want lots of encouragement. Lots of well done. Okay, you slipped up there. Okay, what does that mean? How do I need to take some responsibility? How do I turn that into an opportunity to grow? What would that look like? And what would I encourage in myself so that I feel better and better and better about my choices?
It's a beautiful reminder. So thank you, Aruna.
Perfect. The seed. I think you got us sparked with the seed today. Awesome. Marta?
Is there a little time for me to tell this to going to say earlier? Oh, that was a pause.
I will be here, so there's okay. Time for me.
It's the story about this order. I don't know the name in English. The Franciscans, maybe something like this. The ones with the cap. Mm-hmm. So when I was when I had that head trauma derived from the marriage, I went to nature, the nearest nature spot. I was living in Portugal mainland. And it's an old forest. And somehow I was taken, and I think this is the proper expression, taken into, because it was not much, there was not much of a thought process involved. I was led into doing a bit of tourism, as weird as that might be. So one of the places that I was drawn to visit was this convent, and this convent is built, it's in nature, so it's part of nature. It's not that they went there and right, so they it's in side stones like this, right? So it's part of nature. It's kind of covered even, so you can't really see that it is there unless you know it is there. So I went to visit this, and I was the only visitant, actually. There was no one else there. So it was quite interesting as I was visiting the different compartments of this convent monastery. Quite a humble place, because this order was known for their practices of austerity, I think it's the word. So they would renounce many things. On stone beds, right? So not much comfort, and they had the only isolation that way. That is quite a cold and humid place. The only isolation they would have would be the word is cork, the tree thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was visiting the place, and I had this audio thing that was telling me how the monks used to live. And there was one thing that stayed with me, besides the feeling of being in the right place, as weird as everything was in my life, though, those days. The one thing that stayed with me was how they had their days divided. They had their days divided into 8 hours of sleep, 4 hours of prayer, 4 hours of service, and 4 hours in the garden. So I remember taking a note of that, since my life was so fragmented those days, that structure kind of gave me a direction that, something like this. So this was a couple of years ago. So yeah, some part of the vision, this visitation I had in the singing and elsewhere today, I feel it was connected with either this order, this monastic order, or another order, I'm not sure. So, but this connection came with these people. We're living very close to nature and close to God, and they would serve their community as well. So they had a time set for all of that. The simplicity of their lives was also very touching.
The simplicity, and yet I'm also hearing a way of nurturing what was important to them. Those different aspects, was that your sense, that there was time devoted to what was most important to them?
Yeah, there was time for everything that mattered, though. Yeah, it was quite a repetitive structure, but it was quite interesting. And the setting is a beautiful, powerful place. That's actually where I was initiated into that yoga tradition, was in those woods, in that area of the country. So it's interesting. Today we spoke here a bit about the Bija mantra, and I was taken into this trance thing. So fun, though that yoga tradition was very much about the masculine and the bliss, right? I mean, with Misa, I've been developing and studying more the counterpart of that. Though it's interesting that in moments of kirtan, and particularly kirtan, I remember being taken into a place similar to this, of being very, very still, listening, but being able to speak, of course, if you would wish, or to sing the mantra, but being comfortable in the receptivity.
The Bija mantra has all the chakras in it. It starts from Lam, which is the root chakra, all the way to Om, which is this chakra.
One of the meditations techniques I used to practice had all of those, but used to stop in the Vishuddha chakra, who don't go upper than that.
Interesting. So we get to choose how far we're going to grow. What's going to grow? What's going to sprout, right?
Yeah.
Blessing. Beautiful. Beautiful sharing today. Lots of growing today.
Yes.
Yeah. And seeds being planted today. Beautiful. All right. So next week when we meet, we're back on to the other time, right? The earlier time. And that will help some of our gals overseas. It'll be a little bit earlier for you. And Achari in Thailand is pretty late for her. So lovely. Much love to you all. I think I'll open up our lines if I can. Yeah. Love you.
Love you too. Love you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, ladies.
Namaste, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.